Welcome to the Kathy Donovan Sessions. I'm your host, Kathy Donovan. We're talking relationships, secrets, superpowers, and we're setting ourselves up to live life fully. Let's get started. And here we are. If I had to use a few words to describe my guest today, I would say generous, kind, compassionate, leader, inspiring. Those are just a few words I would use to describe Nicole Jensen. She is a business coach. She is a fellow Canadian now living in Los Angeles. You tell me that you moved to LA from Ontario. So I'm reminded of that Sting song, you know, An Englishman in New York, when I think of your story. And I wonder if you can tell me how that journey went, Nicole, for you from living in Ontario to becoming a business coach living in Los Angeles or living in the Los Angeles area.
Yes, absolutely. And Kathy, thank you for having me. It's just so much fun to chat with you and support what you're doing. So in terms of the journey, it started a long time ago. I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. My parents were entrepreneurial, had several businesses that started a business from home. So I had the opportunity to see it firsthand. My brother worked with my dad in the garage business. I didn't want to do that. Didn't want to get my hands dirty. So I was at home helping my mom with some of the things that were going on at home. And so I just grew up in that space many, many years ago. And it was a natural for me to get into business for myself. So the business coaching came later after business success, business failure. Okay, what am I going to do now? How am I going to use this experience that I've had? And that was our family business that we built up, that home-based business actually built to be very, very successful and then fell apart for a number of specific reasons. And so I extracted all the learning that I could out of that to be able to apply not only in building another business, but also in helping others to avoid the same mistakes. So that's how the business coaching piece came in. And then actually I ended up buying a franchise and developing some additional skill sets and so forth from learning through that organization from some incredible people. But in terms of moving down here, I've always dreamed of living in California. So when I was a little girl, and I'm talking like 4, 5, 6 years old, somewhere in there, and going to school, and I used to tell my friends, I'm going to live in California. And I had no idea, I still don't know where it came from, whether it was a movie, because I didn't know anybody who lived there. I had never been there, but somehow I always knew I'm going to live in California. Well, fast forward many years later, almost 10 years now, I met someone through that franchise actually who lived down here in Southern California. And so we ended up falling in love, getting married. That's what brought me down here. And then he ended up continuing on his own journey of self-discovery. He's still on it. And we were married for almost 8 years, but it didn't work out for a number of reasons. Still love him very much as a person, but just, you know, there was a lot of things that didn't work and he chose to opt out. So that was kind of what brought me down here. But then I'm thinking, okay, and I didn't marry him, by the way, just to get to California. I want to be clear about that, but it was an added bonus. But the dream that I had stuck in my head, cause I was like, okay, well now I'm not married anymore. Where do I want to go? What do I want to do? And I thought, well, Nicole, you always wanted to live in California. And what a blessing. Of all the hardship and the struggle that I went through and the emotional struggle and on so many levels that I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to get something out of this. And of course, the learning and so forth. But the other thing is that I got out of it was I get to live in California and I can live anywhere. And so I decided, where do I want to live? And where I wanted to live was in Southern California. There's like, it starts kind of like LA-ish, Santa Barbara's and all the way south to San Diego. So I kind of looked at those options and I fell in love with San Diego, North County, and that's where I am now. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love it here. So it's near Carlsbad.
Cool. Well, you talk about this journey of self-discovery that your ex-husband continues on with. And this is what it's all about to me, is we have this beautiful gift called imagination. And when we're very young, we're very free with our imagination. We have no limits on what we can imagine ourselves doing. You know, that's why when you ask a child what they want to be when they grow up, I love the answer, because it's as varied as, you know, firefighter, engineer, astronaut. These are six-year-old people. And they're not afraid to dream big. But as we get a little older and our conditioned thoughts and beliefs that, you know, people tell us what our limitations might be and we believe them and we really stop dreaming so big. And also sometimes dreams as we become adults become daunting and we think, how am I ever going to get that done? So to me, the magic of how your life is unfolding is in that mystical miracle in the ethers that we can't see, when we actually allow life to take us along. And, you know, there's nothing wrong, in my view, with the marriage not going for life. It's a season, a reason, or a lifetime. And the reason you ended up going to California was you needed to move to San Diego to do what you're doing now. So what a wonderful story. And, you know, it's a great lesson for all of us not to limit ourselves when it comes to what we imagine we could do with our lives, because we logically can't see the road to get there. We don't have to be in charge of the how, we have to be in charge of the what. And when we can get clear about that and actually pay attention to exactly what you did, learn the lessons, like be with it and say, well, what can I gain from this? What can I learn from this? You know, the story is really so beautiful and so inspiring for many, many people. I hope listening to this will, you know, be inspired to dream big themselves too. So now you do business coaching. You founded the Leaders of Transformation podcast, and that's how we connected. I was a guest on your podcast, and then I've always had this idea to do one. So you decided to teach a course, and I knew who my teacher had to be. It had to be you. So talk about yourself as a coach, because I think it takes a certain type of person. It takes a certain type of courage and confidence to actually tell another business person how they should do what they do. So talk about yourself as a coach and what you feel you bring to your clients that makes the difference.
Got it. Well, thank you. It's an interesting question, because coaching really found me. I didn't find it. So what happened is I started my business, Discover the Edge, in 2005, and I was doing workshops on personality dynamics, because what was business about? Business is about people. It's about relationships. And one of the breakdowns that I saw in our business, the family business that we had, was in the area of relationships, leadership, poor leadership, not playing by the same set of core values, those types of things. And so I thought, well, you know what? The first thing is, you know, most important fundamentally is that people need to understand themselves and others so they can build better relationships, more effective teams. And it's also something that I was using in my own business. So I had the family business, I also had my own business, and I was in sales and marketing, and gone door to door and done thousands of cold calls and all of that on the phone and in person. And these skills were skills that I used. So I was teaching what I knew in a workshop. So there was a measure of confidence. And I think that's important, is to teach what we know. And you're always going to learn as you go. There's going to be finer distinctions, but you do need to know a little bit about what you're doing. And I think that right now there's a lot of people that are lacking confidence because A, they're not acknowledging what they're good at and how good they are at a certain thing, because they're saying, well, I'm new in business. Let's say they worked at a company and then they now become an entrepreneur, and they're saying, well, I'm totally new to this. Well, you are, but you have the skill set that you've been building over years that you can build a good foundation on. Or the other thing is that they actually don't know a lot about what they're doing. And so they're trying to teach something that they're still figuring out. And that both of those will create a lack of confidence and effectiveness as well. So I was building on something that I knew really well. Then when I was doing it and I was going into businesses and working with their teams, some of those business leaders that I was speaking to, I was noticing other things going on in the business, the way they operated with me, the lack of their systems and organization. I'd walk into their office and all I'd see was chaos. And so, or I'd hear people say the complaints that they had. And so I started offering some other, you know, other suggestions to them as to what they can do to improve their business overall that would give them a better result. And so that's where they started asking me, can you coach me on this? Can you work with us on this on an ongoing basis? And that's where it really developed from there. Now, in terms of telling them what to do, it's so funny that you say that, because when the first person came to me and said, I want you to coach me. And I said, oh, no, you do not. And they said, no, I really do. And I said, no, I'm not a coach. I was thinking therapist. This is back in 2005, right? I'm thinking therapist, black couch, lay on the couch, ask very Socratic questions. How do you feel about that? Okay, see you next week, right? And so that kind of thing, let them wallow in it for 6 months. Forgive me, all the therapists that are listening. I know what you do is a lot more than that. But you know, at that time, that was kind of the perception that I had, right? And I was like, no, I am not that type of person. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. And they said, no, that's what we want. That's what we want. So, okay. Well, the reality is coaching is kind of a blend of those things. And it's not just about telling people what I'm really passionate about. Is teaching my clients and empowering them to be able to stand on their own. I had one of my early clients who came back to me and she said, okay, I'm good now. I've got it all. I mean, it was a mess when we started working together. And now she had this thriving business and so forth. And she's like, okay, I got this. I'm awesome. I'm amazing. I did all this. And initially I was kind of like, well, hey, wait a second, in my mind. And then I immediately thought, no, exactly. Yes, you are awesome. Yes, you can do it. And mission accomplished. So it's a different way of looking at things. And the reason why I think that's important is because there are a lot of coaches out there who are actually trying to create dependency, you know, where people have to, you know, what are you going to do without me kind of thing. And the reality is if they don't survive without you, then you're not a great coach. And that's tough love. But the fact is a coach empowers. They can take you to the next level. I'm not suggesting you don't need a coach, but they're constantly taking you to the next level, but they're empowering you and strengthening, bringing out the best in you, as opposed to being the person with the answers. Because if I'm the person with the answers, then you got to keep running back to me for the next answer. Yeah. And that's not building leaders, that's building followers. And
what we're talking about. When you were talking about empowering, because that's truth. That's when I get the shivers, is when somebody speaks the truth. The difference between a great coach and a coach is somebody who empowers you to know that you can take the next step, even if you don't get it right, but you can take the next step. And it's sort of like a guide as opposed to a guru, if that makes sense. And you know, congratulations on shaping a business that is, you know, dedicated to empowering other people, which is really all you're doing too with your podcast, right? The Leaders of Transformation podcast. You're empowering your listeners to want to aspire to some of the ideas you share in the many interviews you've done, hundreds of them now. And I wanted to talk specifically a little about the podcast, because I'm very interested in the spiritual side of Nicole Jansen as well. That is part of what guides you and what has guided you all along. But you say you were guided to start the podcast, and I wonder if you could share a little about that.
Sure. So back in 2015 now, I was in the midst of this roller coaster ride with my now ex-husband, and it was a really, really difficult time. Everything was imploding, and I just couldn't focus on content development. You know, people were saying, you need to do videos, you need to do this, you do that. I was not there. Mentally, emotionally, I was not there. I knew I had the capacity or the capability or the competence to do it, but I didn't have the capacity, maybe is a better way to put it, emotionally. And so I was just really, really struggling as to what to do and, you know, the next direction. What was my guide saying to me? And so I was asking God, and I was saying, like, you know, what do I do? Of course, I have lots of coaches as well, but that's my core. That's my go-to, right? What do you say about me? What is your plan? What do you recommend that I do? And so one morning I woke up and it was 4:30 in the morning, and I call it a divine download. It was, I'm not usually up at 4:30 in the morning. And I woke up in the, you know, just from a dead sleep. And it was like, you're going to do a podcast. It's going to be called Leaders of Transformation. you're going to interview difference makers and world changers. Go. And I thought, a podcast? Do I want to do a podcast? Like, there wasn't a question. This wasn't a negotiation. This wasn't a suggestion. This was a directive. And then I said, when am I going to do this? And the answer was now. Like now or like soon now? Like, I'm a strategist, right? So do I plan it out? And now. That was it. Now. And I said, all right, I'll take that literally. So it was 4:30 in the morning. I'm in California on Pacific time. I reached out to Mark Mawinney, who was 4 hours ahead. It was 8:30 for him. I thought that was a reasonable time to call him on a Saturday morning. And I said, what do I need to know about this podcasting thing? Because he had been very successful with it up to that point. And so he and I had a conversation, 15, 20 minutes. He said, do this, this, this. You need to have, I didn't know anything about it. You need to do all these things. These are the tools you need. Okay. And we were live within, I was live within maybe 3 weeks.
Oh my
God. So that was a clear, clear direction. And the blessing in the podcast that I could have never imagined. I knew there was a reason for it, but I didn't know the full extent of the vision of it. But what a blessing, because I thought, I can't create I don't usually use that word. So it's like, you can't, either don't want to, you don't know how, which is it? So, and it was like, I didn't know how at that point with my emotional lack of emotional capacity to create it. However, I can interview others and feature them and the amazing things that they're doing. I can do that. And that's what the podcast became. So I didn't promote my coaching through my podcast. I didn't do any of that. I was like, I can do this one thing to move forward. And in the process of doing that, of showcasing other people, doing what I had already always been doing, which is helping people to play to their strengths and discover their strengths. Here I was showcasing their strengths and their greatness and empowering the listeners to be leaders of transformation. I could do that. And in the process of that, I met so many amazing people, reconnected to people that were in my network that I hadn't talked to for a while, that now we had a reason to connect. I had them on the show. What an incredible journey, and how it helped me to shift my association and my mental capacity, my emotional capacity began to expand because of the environment. Mm-hmm. It's a virtual environment, but I created that virtual environment and be able to dig myself out of the hole that way. So very powerful.
Well, yeah. And again, same sort of thing as the move to California when you think about it, because, you know, we feel we're never broken, but we feel broken when we're suffering, you know, grieving and trauma. And when we do nothing, we stay in that place. And when we do something, when we're guided to do something, we take that next step, that's when we start to build our new purpose, our new layer. And, you know, again, it's just such a beautiful story, because I love the fact that you feel you were guided. And I'd like to dig back a little bit into that, if you don't mind, because I'm fascinated by what drives people in terms of their spiritual life. I'm a person who believes in a power greater than me. I don't have a name for it necessarily, vital force. You can call it God, whatever you're comfortable with, but it's my best collaborative partner. Everything I do is in conjunction with that power greater than me in terms of everything I've done in my life. And so I see now the positive outcomes in the choices that I'm making when I'm intentionally collaborating with that power. But I'm not necessarily a religious person. I could say I was raised Catholic, but I'm not a Catholic. I believe that every person has a right to think and feel however they want to. But I would like to know a little bit more about your framework, Nicole, and how you put your life together in terms of your spiritual life.
Well, it actually started, I mean, I became a Christian when I was about 14. And so I started reading the Bible when I was about, and this was my voluntary, nobody told me I had to do it. I actually didn't attend church regularly, locally, until I was in my 30s. I think I was about 30 years old when I found my first church that I actually wanted to go to. And maybe I didn't try too hard, but we went to a number of churches. I was actually down at a conference in the U.S., at the time with my parents and through the business organization that we're part of. And that's where I decided that I wanted to, as they say, give my life to God. But I didn't know what that meant. And so when I came back and I started looking at churches, I didn't relate. My neighbor was actually Catholic. I remember going to Mass and going, so this is all about memorization. I don't get it, right? So, and then I went to other churches and I just didn't feel that spirit moving. And so I say I didn't make a whole lot of effort because I was obviously between 14 and 30, you know, I could have spent a lot of time searching. I didn't necessarily do that. But what I did do is I started reading the Bible every day from about, I think I was about 16 and I decided to do that. And so all of this was starting to be, it's kind of unfolding in my life as I was learning some of these principles, seeking understanding from the guide, right? From the Holy Spirit, what I call the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, guiding me and saying, okay, I don't have a pastor. And thankfully, actually, it was a blessing. I don't have a pastor or somebody that's explaining, interpreting this to me. You tell me what, if you really exist, then tell me what this says, what this means. What do I need to get from this? What do I need to understand from this? And so that that created the foundation that when I went through, and you know, there's been different times, obviously I talk about the business that failed, our family business, that was a pretty traumatic experience. Mm-hmm. And then of course, with my husband and all these different things. And so in that moment though, when this was all happening with my husband, I really did question my faith. I questioned that there was a God. I questioned that whether or not he was even good, whether or not he even wanted anything to do with him. Because you kind of, you know, it's like, you look to blame someone. Why did you do this to me? Like, what? I'm a nice person. Why does all this happen to me, right? I get married at 38. Come on. Like, why doesn't it turn out? You know, I thought I was following you. I thought I was trusting you, you know, and I was doing what, you know, was the right thing. I felt that it was the right step to make. I didn't make any rash decisions, even though we did get married quickly, but I was really thought it through. And so I really was challenged in that. And it caused me to ask myself some really significant transformative questions for me. One of the questions that I asked myself, and I was sitting with a woman at lunch, and she shared this with me, is the first question is, how do I see God? Number two is, how do I want to see God? And number three is, who is God really? And the answers to those questions were as profound, because I saw him as a punishing God. I saw him as, you know, as me always having to, even though I intellectually knew the Bible says that we have grace, right? So the framework is, you know, that by grace, right, we are forgiven of our sins. What a sin. Sin is falling short of the glory of God. That's all it is. It's not, that's all, but I mean, that's what it is, right? It's us falling short. We all fall short of the glory of God, the perfection of what is possible. And so I was starting to question all this and saying, like, what is, I'm doing all the right things. I'm saying all the right things. I'm a good person. None of that really ultimately was, you know, I thought it was like God was doing this to me, but that really wasn't the case. And so it started to transform my view. And in the process of that, I started to ask myself, who am I? Where is my identity? And so my identity, what I notice is a lot of times, and I work a lot more, this is coming up in conversation a lot more these days, especially, is that a lot of times our identity is wrapped up in an archetype. Personality, this is who I am, right? Or I'm like my father, or I'm like my mother, mm-hmm. or it's accomplishments, mm-hmm. or it's acquisitions, mm-hmm. all of the external things. And you know what? When all of that was taken away, literally, relationships, finance, health, all of it was taken away from me, I had to ask myself that question, like, who am I now? Mm-hmm. And that was a tough question to ask, and to really explore that, to not just the quick answer, but to who am I really? And so that's where my faith, which was challenged, was actually inadvertently actually became stronger, mm-hmm. because of the search that it forced me to go on.
Right. Yeah, I think we're all in some kind of growth mode all the time. I think we're all coming to ourselves. You know, we go through this very peculiar process when we're born as people, where we come in perfect. We're perfect. And then we unlearn everything we know instinctively, you know, love. We find ways to be conditional about it. We find ways to withhold it. We find ways to manipulate. We find ways to judge people. Our ego gets big. We step in with, you know, negativity and fear and all the things. And then when we are faced with crisis and we're paying attention, regardless of your path, we find ourselves getting back to ourselves, getting back to our truth, to the fact that really all there is love. All there is unconditional love. And yeah. So, you know, I think it's a beautiful story, and I'm happy for you to have, you know, such an enriched faith. And, you know, as I say, my experience is quite different from yours, but it doesn't matter. You know, we're humans, and we all have such interesting ways when we're grounded people doing good work. Interesting ways of getting there. And so that's really one of the things I want to share in this podcast, is different ways to view life is just fine. As long as we're not harming one another, as long as we're doing a good job, which is what I believe you are doing with your Leaders of Transformation podcast. And I'm sure your clients are very happy with the coaching you offer them. And again, I'll just thank you for all the inspiration you've been so generous with, and the support as all of your students learn to fly.
Thank really you. Fun.
Yeah.
And I wanted to just say something. You know, it's interesting because, yeah, people have different, I don't consider myself religious either, faith-based, spiritual. But you know, it's interesting. There, we have a lot more common ground than meets the eye. Because when you look at it, I believe that God is love. Mm-hmm. Love is the answer. Mm-hmm. The Bible is really simple, actually. It says, love. Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment? And he said, love God and love one another as yourself. Well, first of all, you got to be able to love yourself before you can love others. Yes. But and then, of course, you have to know yourself, right? So there's all of that. But, it, you know, it's that love God, love one another.
Yeah.
And so if we could get that, and I think that if you look at every major religion, there is a similarity that there's a gentleman who has traveled to 120 countries. He is a peace ambassador for the UN. And what he does is he is a Christian. He was formerly a pastor. And he was called into this work, this peace work. And what he does is he focuses on the golden rule. And the golden rule, that you look at every major religion, there is that common, they say it in different ways, but they're saying the same thing. And I think right now, and the reason why I bring this up, is that right now there is so much division mm-hmm. being emphasized.
Yep.
That the reality is, I realize that everyone ultimately, we just want to love and be loved. Why? Yeah. Because we are love, because yeah. we are made in God's image. God is love. We are love. God lives in us. That's where that love. So when we are absent of love, and that's where I say sin, it's like that absent of love, love, fear, mm-hmm. love and fear cannot coexist in the same moment in time. We're either coming from a place of love or from a place of fear. Mm-hmm. And so even though I speak in the, and work and coach in the secular space, love and fear, people get that. This is not about you need to believe what I believe and all that stuff. It's really about, can we understand and can we come to an agreement and understanding that we're either coming from a place of love, which is abundance, or fear, which is scarcity.
Yeah.
You get to choose. And the result of that is God. I believe that God is a multiplier. Mm-hmm. He's a God of multiplication. So whatever we put out there will be multiplied. So the question is, what do we want to put out there?
Right. Love and I think the beautiful thing is that as a coach, what you're doing is helping to fill in the gaps around knowing yourself, loving yourself. Because when we have self-awareness, there's a special confidence that comes with that. Nobody else has your lane. There's just Nicole. There's just Kathy. All we can do is us. And every person has that. When we can recognize and appreciate and really, really get into, like, this is the gift I've been given, and I've got a direction and I've got a life and what am I going to do with it and who am I going to be and how great do I want to make this? Those are all questions we're not encouraged to ask ourselves. So that's why we have so many coaches. That's why we have so many therapists, because people are lost. And what they need to do, I feel, is really look within for the happiness. It's not outside of you. It's all contained within. And it speaks to your religious beliefs. It speaks to my spiritual beliefs. You're quite right. In principle, all religions have the same idea. But in practice, many of them are about control and manipulation. And that's where I just do not comply. Because yes. I believe...
And neither do I.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, I get that. Yeah. And yeah. That's why I think it's such an interesting conversation to have, because it's pretty dang simple when you break it down to the fact that it's either love or fear. And many of us, especially right now, are in that scarcity mindset, in that fear mindset, because we have no control over circumstances around us. We don't know what to do. So either we do nothing or we just run through the fear thoughts over and over again, instead of learning to flip the energy and appreciate what you have, what you can do, and who you really are, which is love, and then spread all of that around. So anyway, yeah. It's a great conversation. I could talk to you for hours and hours. I hope that people have enjoyed what we've discussed. And I hope there's a little bit of not only information, but inspiration in here for you to help you step up your game. Anyway, Nicole, I appreciate you. I thank you so much for your time today. And I look forward one day to coming to San Diego, perhaps, or having you come to Chelsea and we can have a hug in person.
Oh, I would love that, Kathy. Thank you so much for having me here today. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too. Bye for now. I really appreciate you being here with me today. If you enjoyed this session, please subscribe and share with a friend to help me spread the good word. For other episodes, visit my website, kathydonovan.com.